This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله والحمد لله ونصلي ونسلم على خير خلق الله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. All praise is due to Allah, and we send salutations upon the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and upon his family and his companions. This second module that is going to take us approximately half an hour to 45 minutes insha'Allah ta'ala until Salatul Dhuhr is regarding the topic of Aqeedah and Tawheed. And the title of this particular module is Tawheed is the only solution. Tawheed is the only solution. And really what I want to do in this module is, just like we said, to follow the example of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by giving importance to Aqeedah and Tawheed before everything and anything else. And also for you guys to recognize that there is no way and no chance for you to be a successful Raqi, who is a person who is guiding people to the Qur'an and to the Sunnah, and who is facilitating a cure for people with the permission of Allah Azza wa Jal. No chance for you to do this unless your aqeedah is correct and unless you have tawheed. Because this is what in reality affects the jinn. And this in reality is what protects you from all of the evil that you are potentially exposing yourself to. What protects you is your taqwa, and the first and the foremost part of your taqwa is your tawheed and your aqeedah. And just as the Prophet ﷺ began by focusing upon aqeedah, we're going to begin by focusing upon it. And if you find a person who is a Raqi and he has some issues in his aqeedah, in any part of his aqeedah, then know that this person will not be successful as a whole, in a general sense, will not be successful in his ruqyah, because he is not guiding the people in the way that the Prophet ﷺ guided them, and he's not protecting himself with what the Prophet ﷺ and the companions protected themselves with, their tawakkul and their trust in Allah Azza wa Jal, and the correctness of the beliefs that they held, and the implementation of those as well. So what do we mean by aqeedah? Very briefly, aqeedah comes from the Arabic root aqadah. Aqadah, which means to tie something firmly, to become hard and strong, to hold on to something tight, to grasp something, to be certain about something, and to affirm something with conviction. So things, strength, certainty, affirmation, tying, all of these are meanings that relate to our aqeedah. And of course, from the word aqeedah, or from the verb aqadah, comes the word uqad. وَمِنَ النَّفَّاثَاتِ فِي الْعُقَدِ. Knots, because aqeedah is something that ties you to it. You're tied to it, you're fixed to it. It's something that is firm and is established for you. تَعْقِيد, which is determination, and اِعْتِقَاد, which are the beliefs and convictions that a person holds. As for our aqeedah in Islam, it is those matters that are known from the Qur'an and the sound ahadith, which a Muslim must believe in his heart in acknowledgement of the truth of Allah and his Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Those matters that are known from the Qur'an and the authentic sunnah. So where do we get our aqeedah from? From the Qur'an and from the authentic sunnah. Not from the people, not from what we hear, not from blindly following an individual. We get our aqeedah from the Qur'an and the authentic ahadith. Those matters which are known from the Qur'an and the authentic ahadith, which a Muslim must believe in his heart. Because your aqeedah, it is like your heart is a box. What are you going to choose to put into it? And this box is going to identify you as a Muslim. This is my box. This is who I am. Look at my heart. This is who I am. Those beliefs that you put into your heart and you say, this defines me as a Muslim, this is your aqeedah. In acknowledgement of the truth of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because the matters of aqeedah are those matters which relate to acknowledging the truth of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. From this are the six pillars of faith: our belief about the companions, our belief about iman, that it comprises belief and statements and actions, and that it increases in by obedience to Allah and decreases by sin. Our belief about obedience to those in authority, all of these things are from our aqeedah. But our aqeedah doesn't stop in the heart. Many people make this mistake. They say, his aqeedah is good, even though his methodology is terrible. His aqeedah is good. But the ulama, our ulama, and the ulama of the Salaf did not used to make this 100% distinction in this way. They used to say that the aqeedah is what you put in the heart, and the aqeedah demonstrates itself on the limbs. Because there is what Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah called talazum bayna al-zahiri wal-batin. There is a link between a person's inner self and a person's outer self. Where did he get this from? Ala inna fil jasadi mughdah idha saluhat saluhal jasadu kullu wa idha fasadat fasadal jasadu kullu ala wa hiya al-qalb. The hadith in Sahih Muslim and others, in the 40 hadith of Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah, in which the Prophet ﷺ said, indeed in the body there is a piece of flesh. If it is correct, the whole body will be correct. And if it is corrupt, the whole body will be corrupt, and it is the heart. So we must look at what we're putting into this box. Look at what it is that we're defining ourselves by. You are saying, this is me as a Muslim. Everyone, go to a Shia ma'bad, to a Husayniyyah. They all say that they're Muslim. Go to Ahmed Qadiani Masjid, they say that they are Muslim. Go to the Ismailiyun, they say that they are Muslim. Go to the likes of the Batiniya and the Nusayriya and the Druze and these guys, like the guys in Syria, like Bashar al-Assad, Qatalahullah, and these people. And what do they say? They say, we are Muslim. What kind of a Muslim are you? This is your aqeedah. This is what defines you as a Muslim. This is what makes you a person who is beloved to Allah, or a person who is cursed by Allah Azza wa Jal. Muslim, everyone throws the title around. But what kind of a Muslim are you? This is your aqeedah. It defines you as a Muslim. All of the messengers began by teaching aqeedah. We have heard the ayah, وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا أَنِ اعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَاجْتَنِبُ الطَّاغُوتِ. We sent to every nation a messenger saying, worship Allah and avoid the false gods. All of the messengers began by teaching aqeedah and teaching tawheed, teaching the beliefs, purifying the heart, defining people as a Muslim who submitted to Allah Azza wa Jal. مَا كَانَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ يَهُودِيًّا وَلَا نَصْرَانِيًّا وَلَكِنْ كَانَ حَنِيفًا مُسْلِمًا وَمَا كَانَ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. Ibrahim was not a Jew, nor was he a Christian, but he was a Hanif, someone who had the right aqeedah, someone who was pure in the heart, and a Muslim who submitted himself to Allah Azza wa Jal. وَمَا كَانَ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. And he was not from those people who associated others with Allah Azza wa Jal. And if you look in Surah Al-A'raf and the other surahs that talk about the prophets who came one after the other after the other, what did all of them say? يَا قَوْمِ اعْبُدُ اللَّهَ مَا لَكُمْ مِنْ إِلَهٍ غَيْرُ. O my people, worship Allah. You do not have any object of worship other than him. And if we look at the life of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for 13 years, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam spent all of his time purifying the aqidah of the people. When was the salah made obligatory upon the Muslims? Not until the latter time of the period of Makkah. When was the zakah made obligatory on the Muslims? Not until after that. When was the Hajj made obligatory for the Muslims? The last year, the 10th year after the Hijrah. Subhanallah, what did the Prophet ﷺ do for 13 years if there was only a limited amount of salah, and there was no zakah, and there was no Hajj, and fasting was only prescribed towards the middle or the latter part of that period? What did he do? He taught the people, La ilaha illallah. He used to go through the streets, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi, saying, "Oh my people, قُولُوا لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ تُفْلِحُ." Say, "La ilaha illallah," you will be successful. Wallahi, these people, they did not fight the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because of his personality. And they did not fight him because of his lineage. And they did not fight him because he wanted authority over them. They said, "Oh Muhammad, take the authority. You can be a king over us." They called him the best. They called him Al-Amin. They called him by the best of names and characteristics. It was not him that they had a problem with. But as soon as he began teaching the people aqeedah, this is when they hated the Prophet ﷺ. This is when they fought the Prophet ﷺ. So the messengers began by teaching aqeedah. The majority of the Qur'an was revealed regarding the aqeedah of tawheed. This is the majority of the Qur'an, to the extent that Ibn al-Qayyim says no surah, rather no ayah, is missing tawheed. Every single ayah is in the Qur'an to evidence and to show to you and to emphasize tawheed. Every ayah. It's either a command for you to obey Allah in establishing your tawheed, or an explanation of tawheed, or talking about the names and attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal, or a prohibition affirming the power of Allah Azza wa Jal and the judgment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and affirming tawheed through this, and affirming your worship of Allah Azza wa Jal and your obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. The whole of the Qur'an is tawheed. And the majority of the Qur'an, the ayat, deal with nothing but tawheed. So this is an extremely important topic. We said that we take it from the book of Allah and from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I'm sure what I'm saying to you, ya ikhwan, is not strange. It's not something you haven't heard before, alhamdulillah. I believe we're sitting here with a group of the people of tawheed, insha'Allah ta'ala. Those people who worship Allah azza wa jal alone and don't make any partner with him. But we remind, because this is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam began with. This is what he began to teach, salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayhi. Let us take a brief look, just a brief look at the words La ilaha illallah. Those words that take you out of kufr and into Islam. What does it mean, La ilaha illallah? Some people came along and they said it means there is no creator except Allah. We say, let us look for a moment at the history of the people of Quraysh, who the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent to. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent to the people of Quraysh. Those people of Quraysh, wala in sa'altahum man khalaqa as-samawati wal-ardha la yaqulunna Allah. If you ask them who created the heavens and the earth, what will they say? They will say Allah. They used to make Hajj for Allah azza wa jal. They used to say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down the rain. They used to say that Allah brought up the crops from the earth. They used to say that Allah gave life to the earth after it was dead. They used to say that Allah brings the dead to life and causes the living to die. They used to say that Allah created the heavens and the earth and everything that was in it. But what did they do? What was their problem? They had no problem with La khaliqa illallah. All of them believed there was no creator but Allah. And they had no problem saying La Raziqa illallah, because they all believed there was no sustainer except Allah. And they had no problem saying La Mudabbira illallah, because they all believed that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was the controller of the universe. فَأَنَّا يُؤْفَكُونَ. What is it that deluded them? What is it that misguided them? It was the fact that they attributed some of their worship to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And let not a person come and say their problem was with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They had no problem with this individual alayhi salatu wasalam until he called the people to tawheed. And as soon as he called the people to tawheed, he was from the worst of the people in their eyes, and they didn't hate anybody more than him. Before this, they loved him as much or more than anyone in their society. It was not Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that they had a problem with, but their problem was worshipping Allah azza wa jal alone. They had idols. What kind of idols did they have? Pious people, angels, stones, stars, trees, the sun and the moon, and they worshipped the prophets. Some of them worshipped and some of them worshipped others. They worshipped the pious people. What's the evidence they worship the pious people? أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ يَبْتَغُونَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمُ الْوَسِيلَ أَيُّهُمْ أَقْرَبُ. They are those people who you call upon besides Allah. They themselves are calling upon Allah, begging Allah Azza wa Jal to make them near to Him and asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His mercy and fearing His punishment. Isa ibn Maryam alayhi salam was making dua to Allah, saying, "Oh Allah, save me from the hellfire. Oh Allah, give me Jannah." The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was making dua, fearing the punishment of Allah and hoping in His mercy. These people who they used to call upon besides Allah, they themselves call upon Allah azza wa jal, seeking a means of nearness to Him. The angels, and remember the day when He will gather them all together and will say to the angels, "Was it you that these people used to worship?" The angels will say, "No, but they used to worship the jinn. Most of them were believers in them." The people used to worship the stones. أَفَرَأَيْتُمُ اللَّاتَ وَالْعُزَّى وَمَنَاتَ الثَّالِثَةَ الْأُخْرَى. Have you seen اللَّاتَ and الْعُزَّى and مَنَاتَ the third, the other one? One or more of them were stones that were worshipped besides Allah Azza wa Jal. They used to worship the trees like the hadith of Zatu Anwat. O Messenger of Allah, give us a tree like they have a tree. He said, Subhanallah, these are the ways you have said, like the people of Bani Israel said to Musa, اجعل لنا إلها كما لهم آلهة. Make us a God like they have a God. Subhanallah. They used to worship the stars. From my slaves are those people, Allah Azza wa Jalla says in a hadith Qudusi, from my slaves are those people who have believed in me and those who disbelieved in me. As for those people who say the rain fell because of me, they are believers in me, and as for the ones who say that the rain fell because of such and such a star, they have disbelieved in me and believed in the stars. The people used to worship the sun and the moon. Allah Azza wa Jal says, لَا تَسْجُدُوا لِلشَّمْسِ وَلَا لِلْقَمَرِ. Don't make sajda to the sun or to the moon, but make sajda to Allah who created them, if it is indeed Him that you worship. Allah Azza wa Jal said, nor does He order you to take the angels and the prophets as lords, would He order you to commit disbelief after you had believed. So this is how the people of Quraysh used to be. And when we see how the people of Quraysh used to be, and they used to believe in Allah Azza wa Jalla, and they used to believe all about the lordship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so where did their problem come? How could they justify to worship a tree when they believed that Allah Azza wa Jalla was Rabbul Alameen? How could they worship a stone when they believed that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was the controller of the universe? How? They gave their evidence. They said, or Allah Azza wa Jal mentions in Surah Az-Zumar, مَا نَعْبُدُهُمْ إِلَّا لِيُقَرِّبُونَ إِلَى اللَّهِ زُلْفَى. We only worship them to make us near to Allah. We believe in Allah, we want what is with Allah, but we worship the idols to make us near to Allah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَهْدِي مَنْ هُوَ كَاذِبٌ كَفَّارٌ. Allah Azza wa Jal does not guide the one who is a liar and an extreme disbeliever. Kaffar, not even kafir. Allah Azza wa Jal describes them, kaffar, the worst of the disbelievers. Because of what? Because they used to worship things as a middleman between them and Allah Azza wa Jal. So how can you imagine that there are people from this ummah who when they go to bed at night, they say, Ya Abdul Qadir Aghithni, Ya Nabi Allah, aghithni. Ya Ali, Ya Hassan, Ya Hussein, help me, save me. Inna Allah la yahdi man huwa kathibun kaffar. Allah Azza wa Jal does not guide the one who is a liar and a severe disbeliever. This is how Allah Azza wa Jal describes them in the Quran. Someone might say, no, I don't put Ali as a middleman, radiallahu an, between me and Allah Azza wa Jal, but he's going to be my intercessor. What does Allah Azza wa Jal say in the Quran? إِنَّمَا هَؤُلَاءِ شُفَعَاءُنَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. These people are just our intercessors, these idols. إِنَّمَا هَؤُلَاءِ. These idols, they're our intercessors in the sight of Allah Azza wa Jal. The same belief, the same reasoning. Allah Azza wa Jal says, do you inform of Allah of something He does not know in the heavens and the earth? Subhanahu wa ta'ala amma yushrikun. Glory be to Allah, and high is Allah above what they associate with Him. Those people who say that Ali is my shafi'i, is my intercessor, that's why I call upon him. subhanahu wa ta'ala amma yushrikun. Glory be to Allah, and high is Allah above who they associate with Him. And Allah Azza wa Jal describes it in the Quran as shirk. So la ilaha illallah is that there is no God worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there's no doubt that the ilah in Arabic is something which is worshipped. Allah Azza wa Jal says, and mention, O Muhammad, when Ibrahim said to his father Azar, do you take idols as deities? وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ لِأَبِيهِ آزَرَ أَتَتَّخِذُ أَصْنَامًا آلِهَةً. Do you take these idols as an ilah? What kind of ilah? وَلَئِنْ سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ لَيَقُولُنَّ اللَّهِ. They believe that Allah is the creator of the heavens and the earth. So what is an ilah? In the Quran, it is clear that these asnam are, these idols are gods that are worshipped besides Allah, i.e. they are an object of worship. And Allah Azza wa Jal says, and ask those we sent before you of our messengers, have we made besides Ar-Rahman alihatan that are worshipped? Have we made besides Ar-Rahman an ilah that is worshipped? Alihatan yu'badun. Have we made an ilah that is worshipped? So Allah Azza wa Jal describes the ilah as the one that is worshipped. So la ilaha illallah, that there is no God worthy of worship except Allah. And of course, la ilaha illallah, as we all know, is made up of two parts. It is made up of refusing and denying and rejecting everything that is worshipped besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and dedicating our worship to Allah Azza wa Jal alone. And it has conditions. From those conditions are al-ilmu wal-yaqeenu wal-qabulu wal-inqiyadu fadri ma aqulu wal-sidqu wal-ikhlasu wal-mahabba waffaqaqa Allahu lima ahabba. Knowledge, certainty, acceptance, submission, truthfulness, sincerity and love. From the aqeedah that we need to remind every single person of is what we say when we say Muhammadur Rasulullah. Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it means for a Muslim three things. Ta'atuhu fima amar, wa tasdiquhu fima akhbar, wa an la yu'badallahu illa bima shara'. Three things. That you obey the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in what he commanded you to do. وَمَا أَتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوا وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. Whatever the Messenger of Allah azza wa jal gives you, take it. Whatever he refuses you or prohibits you from, abstain from it. And fear Allah, indeed Allah is severe in punishment to those who reject taking what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered them to do. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ala innama harrama Rasulullah mithla ma harrama Allah." Indeed, what the Messenger of Allah made haram is exactly like what Allah made haram. So whatever the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gives us, we take it, and whatever he forbids us from, we abstain from it. Wa tasdiquhu fima akhbar, and that we believe in what the Messenger of Allah azza wa jalla informed us about from the ghaib. From the description of Allah Azza wa Jal, that Allah rose above His throne, Ar-Rahman wa ala al-Arsh istawa, that Allah Azza wa Jal rose above His throne, and we know what rising means. And He rose in a way that is befitting to His majesty, and it is not similar to the rising of His creation, subhanahu wa ta'ala. What He informed us about Allah Azza wa Jal, what He informed us about Jannah and about the hellfire, what He informed us about the angels and about the jinn, what He informed us about what will happen in the future, all of these things are from the ghaib that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed us about by the command of Allah azza wa jal. وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. He doesn't speak from his own desire, it is only a revelation that is revealed. And finally, we understand that the meaning of Muhammad Rasulullah, أَلَّا يُعْبَدُ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِمَا شَرَىٰ, that you only worship Allah in the way that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught you to do so. Al-Imam Malik, rahimahullah, he said, مَنْ زَعَمَ, whoever has the false impression that there is such a thing in Islam as bid'atan hasana, as a good bid'ah, he has accused the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam of betraying the amanah. Subhanallah. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke so strongly, and he warned his ummah time and time again, كُلَّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ وَكُلَّ ضَلَالَةٍ فِي النَّارِ. Every single innovation, and kul, go and ask the scholars of usul al-fiqh, kul is a word that means everything with no exception. Every single bid'ah is misguidance, and every single misguidance is in the hellfire. Al-Imam al-Barbahari and some of the others commented on this, and they said, the innovation and its people are in the hellfire. Subhanallah. And the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, that when I am giving drink to people at the hawd, at the cistern or the pool, and I'm giving them water to drink, a water that when they drink it, they will never be thirsty again. When I'm giving them water to drink, I will see a group of people from my ummah, and I will say, Ummati, Ummati, my ummah, come drink from me. And then a wall will be struck down between us. And I will ask, what is this wall? What is this? What's happened? And they will say, إِنَّكَ لَا تَدْرِي مَا غَيَّرُ بَعْدَكَ. You don't know what they changed and innovated in the religion after you. And the Prophet ﷺ will say, سُحْقًا سُحْقًا لِمَنْ غَيَّرَ بَعْدِي. Get out of my sight, get out of my sight, the one who changes something in the religion after me. So we only worship Allah Azza wa Jal in the way that the Prophet ﷺ showed us. And of course, all of this is incredibly important and appropriate for us when we are giving and performing ruqyah, that we make sure that we have that belief in Allah and His Messenger, the belief in those matters of the unseen. Of course, we only in our ruqyah do this action in the way that is in accordance with the principles of the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Of course, the first and foremost thing that we protect ourselves with is our trust in Allah Azza wa Jalla and our tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the first, like we said, the protection that the raqi has, this is taqwa. Because taqwa is when you put something between you and between something that you fear. So when you have something you're scared of, and you put something in between the thing that you're scared of, this is taqwa. To put a barrier between you and something you fear. And the greatest form of taqwa in Islam is tawheed. La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This taqwa, what does Allah Azza wa Jal say? وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ اللَّهِ. Fear Allah and Allah Azza wa Jal, have taqwa of Allah and Allah will teach you. And Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Whoever fears Allah, He will make for him a way out of every difficulty. As a raqi, you will be in situations where you have no idea what is going on. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ اللَّهِ. Have taqwa of Allah, have this tawheed and the obedience of Allah and avoiding the prohibitions of Allah with the right intention according to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah Azza wa Jal will teach you what you need to know. Allah Azza wa Jal will make you out a makhraj, a way out from this difficulty that you're in. And there are so many ayat in the Quran that are in which Allah Azza wa Jal talks about taqwa. وَتَزَوَّدُوا فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى. And when you go to take a provision for your journey, the best thing that you can take with you is taqwa. Subhanallah. So this taqwa, it begins with our aqeedah. We need to have knowledge and action, ya ikhwan. From our aqeedah is that it's not enough to simply keep things in your heart. Iman is not simply something which resides in the heart and remains in the heart. Iman is what begins in the heart, and the actions and the limbs and the speech give truth to it. Your prayer is iman. Your zakah is iman. Your ruqyah is iman. And it increases you in iman. You have to have knowledge along with action. What does Allah Azza wa Jal command the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لِذَنْبِكَ. Know that there is no God worthy of worship except Allah. Have your tawheed and then act. And then act and then seek forgiveness for your sins. And Allah Azza wa Jal says, say are those who know equal to those who do not know? The only ones who remember are the people of understanding. And Allah Azza wa Jal says, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَ اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. The only people who truly fear Allah from His slaves are the people who have knowledge, the ulama. Allah Azza wa Jal mentions And if my memory recalls me, in Surah Az-Zumar, Allah Azza wa Jal mentions the description of the one who stands the night in prayer. Standing the night in prayer, calling upon his Lord. In sajda. Asking Allah Azza wa Jal. Hoping for the akhirah. Hoping for the mercy of his Lord. And then Allah says what? قُلْ هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. How does Allah describe the people of knowledge? He describes them as people who stand the night in prayer, in sajda, calling upon Allah. And then Allah says, when He describes them, قُلْ هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Say to the people who know, are the people who know equal to the people who don't know. So you base your ruqya upon firm and certain knowledge. أَدْعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ عَلَى بَصِيرًا. I call to Allah upon certain knowledge. أَنَا وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَنِي. Me and those who follow me. Certain knowledge. And then you act upon it. Because your iman is in your heart and your speech and your actions. All of these are a part of your iman. Your aqeedah begins with what you put in your heart and it grows from there. And your iman is in your speech and your actions as well. When you know this tawheed, and when you have this tawheed, and you believe in this tawheed, and you have this correct aqeedah, especially knowledge of the names and attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal. When you know that Allah Azza wa Jal has infinite power, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has severe punishment, you fear for yourself. And you don't fear for that of that jinni. You're not scared of that jinni who is there, even if there's 1,000 of them. Because you know that the power of Allah Azza wa Jal is infinite. And you know that the fear of Allah you have in yourself and the punishment of Allah Azza wa Jal, you are sitting doing ruqya, fearing your sins, not fearing that jinn. Because wallahi, that jinn is not going to hurt you. Wallahi, if Iblis came with all of his army, and another army after that, and another one after that, they would not be able to hurt you, not even to move a hair on your head. But what will hurt you and what will destroy you is your disobedience to Allah Azza wa Jal. As Ibn Taymiyyah mentioned in the ayah, in the narration regarding al-jihad fi sabilillah and ruqya. When you know that Allah Azza wa Jal hears and sees everything, it makes you firm upon the religion. Aisha radiallahu anha said, glory be to the one whose hearing reaches every sound. When you know that Allah Azza wa Jal sees and hears everything that you do, it changes you as a person. When you know that Allah Azza wa Jal accepts the repentance of everyone, you don't ever fear that you're going to get to a stage where Allah is never going to accept your tawbah. And you rush to make tawbah, you rush to repent. قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Say, oh my slaves who have transgressed against themselves, don't despair of the mercy of Allah. This is what you teach your patients, this is what you practice yourself. You get knowledge. You practice it, you call people to it, and you're patient as a result of what happens to you. When you know that Allah Azza wa Jal is shy, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is shy when a servant raises their hand and calls upon him to return them empty. How can you think Allah will not answer your dua? You will get to times in ruqya where it will be hard, and you will be trying to do ruqya time and time, and you don't find a way out. But you know when you raise your hands to Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah is shy to return your hands empty. This increases your iman and increases your tawheed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It makes you a person who is constantly making dua. You as a raqi, you can't harm or help anyone. You can't benefit anyone. You can recite Quran for years and years and do nothing. Allah azza wa jal is the one who harms and benefits. We believe this, we know it, and so we are a people who are constantly engaged in dua. We know that it is entirely dependent upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whether we are successful or not. And ultimately we know, as Allah azza wa jal says in Surah Al-An'am, and similarly a wording in Surah Yunus, وَإِن يَمْسَسْكَ اللَّهُ بِدُرٍّ فَلَا كَاشِفَ لَهُ إِلَّا هُوَ وَإِن يُرِدَكَ بِخَيْرٍ فَلَا رَادَّ لِفَضْلِهِ. If Allah Azza wa Jal wants to cause you harm, there is nobody that can remove that harm except from Him. وَإِن يُرِدَكَ بِخَيْرٍ فَلَا رَادَّ لِفَضْلِهِ. And if He wants good for you, who is there that can refute and that can repel the good that Allah Azza wa Jal wants for you? And Allah Azza wa Jal says in Surah Al-An'am, وَإِن يُرِدَكَ بِخَيْرٍ وإن يمسسك الله بضر فلا كاشف له إلا هو وإن يمسسك بخير فهو على كل شيء قدير. And if Allah Azza wa Jal touches you with good, He is able to do all the things, anything that He wishes. This is what you remind yourself from as a Raqi. Me personally, I read this ayah regularly in Ruqya. Not because it's from the particular ayat of Ruqya, but to remind myself. وَإِن يَمْسَسْكَ اللَّهُ بِدُرٍ فَلَا كَاشِفَ لَهُ إِلَّا هُوَ وَإِن يُرِدْكَ بِخَيْرٍ فَلَا رَادَّ لِفَضْلِهِ. If Allah wants to harm me, there's nobody can remove my harm except Allah. And if Allah Azza wa Jal wants good for me, let Iblis come with all of his junud, with all of his army, from the first of them to the last of them. La radda li fadlih. There's nobody that can repel the bounty of Allah Azza wa Jal when it comes. This is the value of your aqeedah. And from the aqeedah that we have to talk about very briefly, we must talk about our aqeedah with regard to qadr and qada. Because qadr and qada, our belief in qadr, this is what distinguishes us as a Muslim in our aqeedah in many things. And atheism, the majority of atheism and agnosticism that is flooding this country today is because of a lack of belief in qadr. What do we believe? We believe that qadr is four stages. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything that has happened, and everything that will happen, and everything that would have happened, how would it have been if it happened? Allah Azza wa Jal knows things that are impossible, and Allah Azza wa Jal knows things that are possible. There is nothing that escapes the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We believe that Allah Azza wa Jal has written down everything that will happen until the Day of Judgment. And that was not difficult for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do. He has written it in the Lawh al-Mahfuz subhanahu wa ta'ala. We believe that there is no object or action or person or anything in this universe that escapes the creation of Allah Azza wa Jal. He created you, وَمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. He created you and He created the actions that you do. The actions belong to you. You are the one who is taken to account for them. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created you. He created your intellect. He created your abilities. And He is the one subhanahu wa ta'ala who creates everything. And there is no creator besides Him. Us and our actions are created by Allah Azza wa Jal. And the fourth, before creation, is that we believe that nothing in this world escapes the will of Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if He wishes something to happen, He says, kun fayakun. And we distinguish in this between the things that Allah loves and the things that Allah wills to happen. Allah Azza wa Jal only loves good. Allah Azza wa Jal only loves you to believe. Allah Azza wa Jal only loves you to be good to others. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows evil to happen, and He wills evil to happen and allows evil to happen for a wisdom that is with Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah Azza wa Jal does not create pure evil. Even in Iblis, alayhi la'natullah, there is from the greatest wisdom and the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal to His slaves. Even in the creation of Iblis. And you will not find more evil than Iblis. Allah Azza wa Jal in the creation of Iblis had many benefits and many good things that He wished to come out. And from those, as Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah mentioned, to see the difference between good and bad, to achieve tawbah, to achieve martyrdom, to achieve sacrifice for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, for people to know the forgiveness of Allah, for people to know the punishment of Allah. And there are many, many other reasons and many other topics. So we have to hold this belief in qadr, that nothing, not objects or people or actions, escape the knowledge of Allah, the writing of Allah, the will of Allah, and the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We believe that there is no contradiction between the fact that Allah creates our actions and we are the ones who do them and we are taken to account for them. We believe that there is no contradiction between those two things. We affirm our belief in qadr, that guidance and misguidance is from Allah. Allah Azza wa Jal, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ نِعْمَةً مِنْهُ وَفَضْلًا وَيُضِلُّ مَنْ يَشَاءُ حِكْمَةً مِنْهُ وَعَدْلًا. Allah Azza wa Jal guides whoever He wants as a bounty and a favor from Him. A bounty and a favor. And Allah Azza wa Jal misguides whoever He wants out of His infinite wisdom and His justice. So His misguidance is just and wise, and his guidance is a favor and a bounty, and it's not something that we deserve. Qadr is a long topic, and there are some good YouTube lectures and various books and things like that that you can read, but we just wanted to give you an introduction to some of the most important things in our aqidah, our trust in Allah, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our sticking rigidly to the sunnah, the fact that our iman is shown in our actions, and our belief in qadr. These are all things that are critical to the raqi. If you don't have this, then the very fundamentals of your ruqya are corrupt. So we need to correct and to purify the people. And the other reason why I think this part of the course is so important is so that you guys can teach this to the people who come to you. So that when this person comes in, you ask them, when they say, why is this happening to me? How can I don't deserve this? You say, subhanallah, don't disbelieve in the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Explain to them. Explain to them the importance of belief in qadr, and the importance of submission and patience, and the importance of being happy about what happens to you, and the importance of thinking good of Allah. يَظُنُّونَ بِاللَّهِ ظَنَّ السَّوء عَلَيْهِمْ دَائِرَةُ السَّوء وَغَضِبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَعَنَهُمْ وَعَدَّ لَهُمْ جَهَنَّمْ وَسَاءَتْ مَصِيرًا. Those people who think evil of Allah, the evil that they think of Allah comes back upon them. And Allah is angry with them, and Allah cursed them, and Allah prepared for them Jahannam, and what an evil destination it is. Subhanallah. So we have this aqidah in ourselves, we remind ourselves of it again and again and again, we keep it, this is our taqwa, this is our shield. A raqi doesn't go in with a shield made of metal, or a shield made of fiber, or made of plastic that he hides behind. But he hides behind the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the utmost and the foremost thing in the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is his aqidah and his tawheed. And from the most important things is his belief in qadr. Like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave the advice to Ibn Abbas that, O young man, ihfadillahi ihfadak. Guard the rights of Allah and the commands of Allah, and Allah azza wa jal will guide you. Be mindful of Allah and Allah will protect you. Ihfadillahi tajidhu tujahak. God, be mindful of Allah, you will find him to be in front of you. Know that if everyone in the world came to harm you, they would not, or to benefit you, they would not be able to benefit you except with something that Allah had written for you. And know that if they came to harm you, they would not be able to harm you except by something that Allah had written against you. This is your shield that protects you during your ruqya, and this is what you teach your patients. Because wallah, when you are practicing ruqya, you will find that there are patients, they don't seem to get better. And you know why that is? Often because there are sins there in the heart that are giving the shaitan a degree of control over the person. Sometimes Allah Azza wa Jal wishes to test the person for a limit that he wishes, but for so many people there are sins, there are things that need to be cleaned and purified. What would you think about your situation if you're reading on them and they're not getting any better day after day, year after year, week after week? Because you're not guiding them to their aqidah, you're not guiding them to removing their sins, you're not guiding them to get rid of the things that are giving the shaitan the control over them. Like the woman who comes and she's fully in hijab, and she sits in front of you and you read on her, and year after year, month after month, and then you find that when she goes outside, she takes off her hijab. And when you find this and you correct this, then you find that the jinn leaves. The hijab is not as important as this aqidah that we're talking about. So how about someone who comes into you with a ta'weed around his neck, that says, O Ali, O Ali, O Ali, O Hassan, 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 Hussein, 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 on his neck. The jinn is going to have a field day with him. You have to purify your aqidah, and you have to purify the aqidah of the people who you're going to treat. And that was the purpose of this small module. Bi idhnillahi tabaraka wa ta'ala. We're now going